Welcome to the Jet Setting Family Travel Podcast.
My name's Rod.
And I'm Jess.
And today we are back.
Finally, we try not to ever miss a weekly upload. It's super important to Rod that we are just always
consistent. We don't want to miss a week, but we have, and we are so sorry.
Yes. So just to give you an update, we recently just did Patagonia, which is in the southern point of Argentina and Chile. It is absolutely gorgeous. We can't wait to talk about it in future episodes. But there's something about Patagonia that made it difficult is that there is like no Wi-Fi anywhere. Yeah,
and if it is, it is super duper weak. It made it really hard to not only just record podcasts, but upload them as well. And we were on the move like every 2 days. So the past 2 weeks have been really hectic, crazy, but beautiful. And as Jess mentioned, we're totally going to talk about it in an upcoming episode.
So we hope not to leave you guys hanging, or at least without a warning again. It's very unlike us, but sometimes life just happens and we just realized at one point we couldn't stress about it anymore. We weren't going to be able to upload, and it was what it was.
Yeah, but if you listen to the last episode, that was our first part of our Mexico series, and we wanted to take this episode to finish off that series and really talk about one destination that is near and dear to our hearts because we spent 6 weeks in there recently, and that is kind of Playa del Carmen and the entire Quintana Roo, kind of Yucatan Peninsula region.
When we originally arrived in the region, we had only planned on staying there for 1 to 2 weeks max, and we ended up staying almost 2 months. There is a lot to explore, a lot to do. Something I just want to get off the bat from the very beginning is something that's really discussed about the region right now is the seaweed, or sargasso is what they call it there. Sargasm, whatever you want to call it. There's a bunch of different names for it. And how that affects the region and whether that will impact their travels. And the reality is the seaweed issue there is a problem, but it is hit or miss. It's unpredictable. Some days are bad. Some days are beautiful. So there's really no way to be like, oh, definitely go and it'll be clear, because it's nature and you can't predict nature.
Yeah. Just to give you an example, the 6 weeks we were there, when we first arrived, it was beautiful. We thought the beaches looked clean and it was great. And then we kind of moved, because we were staying with family close to the beaches, and then we moved kind of inland a little bit. And when we went to the beach after a couple of weeks of not being there and we came back, it was really bad. The sargasso was everywhere. But then we did some travels. We eventually came back and we were on a ferry back from Cozumel, and we looked out at the ocean and it looked the clearest that we had ever seen it.
It was beautiful. Some things to note if you are traveling to the region, before we tell you all the places we went, is different spots around the region get seaweed at different rates. So if you keep your travel pretty flexible, you could adjust accordingly. Mm-hmm. And also there's a lot of beautiful things to do there that don't involve the beach. So yeah.
And one tip is also there's Facebook groups out there where you can get some pretty real-time updates on what the seaweed issues are. There's maps that you can consult where you can kind of see where the good areas are, where the bad areas are. But also in general, the closer you are to a resort, the resorts use their own resources to kind of clear the seaweed from their part of the beach. So a lot of the resorts will look a lot nicer than the kind of public beaches will as well. So if you're staying at a resort, maybe you can call ahead and say, hey, how is everything looking? You know, are you dedicating some resources to getting rid of the issue? And if they do, then, you know, it'll look beautiful and your travels will probably not be impacted.
Yeah. So let's kind of get started. We'll start off.
Yeah, we feel
first,
like total downers. It's like the seaweed, but now we really want to get into the amazing parts of traveling through Quintana Roo.
Yeah, there is a reason we stayed 2 months. I mean, we wouldn't have if the seaweed was that awful or deterred us. Mm-hmm. But it wasn't a question. We were emailed a lot while in the region, and everyone has different outlooks on life and different ways to approach situations, so I would never want to lead someone into something they were disappointed about. But let's start with Playa del Carmen, because that is where we pretty much set up a home base. We actually, for the first time since being on the road, enrolled our kids in school there for a month, which was really, really cool for Rod and I. And we just really love the region. And one of the reasons we love Playa del Carmen as a whole is There's a lot of culture in the main Fifth Avenue there that you can walk and see, but you're right next to the beach. There's tons of cenotes. Cenotes are essentially sinkholes.
Sinkholes, underground pools, underground caves that you can access. There's over 1,000 of them in the area.
There's 13,000, I thought.
Oh, yeah, something ridiculous. It's like not even, I was wrong. Really, really wrong. But just to give you a kind of like a taste of what a cenote is you arrive and it's pretty much on the side of a road. And once you get in there, some of them are kind of private where you pay an entry fee and you get access to the cenote itself. The water is relatively cold, at least compared to the ocean, since it is kind of fresh water, mostly underground, doesn't get a lot of sunlight to it. And you take a dip in it. It's extremely, extremely clear water. And that's one of the things that we love about it. And a lot of the cenotes, they don't get a lot of people. Some are more popular than others, depending on which one you're going to. But in terms of recommendations,
they are just gorgeous. I actually just looked it up so that we don't steer y'all the wrong way. Officially, Wikipedia says there's over 6,000 cenotes in the region. Mm-hmm. And some are open air, kind of like they look more just like a little pool.
Yeah.
Some are within mangroves and then some are caves. My absolute favorite cenote that we visited is right like next to Playa del Carmen, essentially. Mm-hmm. And that one was called
Cenote Chactun. We took a taxi out there. It was probably about a 15-minute drive from the main downtown area. And we paid, I think it was $15 per person. So we paid $30 between the two of us. We didn't take the kids with us since there were some underground portions to it. But yeah, it was incredible.
It was absolutely beautiful. This cenote is actually in a cave system. So you're swimming in these dark caves and at one point they turn your flashlight off and you get to experience this cenote. You're like floating in this cenote cave and it's pitch black and there's mm-hmm. bats and it's just awesome. That one did have some age restrictions. They aren't very strict with the age restrictions. It seemed as though as long as your child is comfortable in the water and willing to wear a life jacket and kind of go along with you, I think Santi, who is 6, would have been perfectly fine. And I think he would have liked it. And I think Nora would have done fine as far as the swimming portion, but cenotes are cold water and younger children have a harder time regulating their body temperature. And so we did find that some of those ones that don't receive as much sunlight, like the cave type ones, would kind of agitate her and she'd cry her way through them as far as being cold. So we just opted to have it as a date day and not take them for that one. Mm-hmm. But if you're in Playa del Carmen, I wouldn't miss it. There's another really, really well known one there called Rio Secreto, which is more famous. The reason we chose to do this one, the Chactun, over that is it's a lot less mass tourism. Rio Secreto, we hear, is absolutely gorgeous. We didn't go, but it's typically where the cruise lines go. It's a lot more mass, I guess, visited. Mm-hmm. And what was cool about Chactun is you can see it's like a locally run thing, you know.
Yeah, we had our own guide there and he was telling us a lot of the Mayan history of the area and, you know, the different levels of the gods and what the different trees represent. So it was really enlightening just to be a part of that tour. And there, I think there were six of us total on this tour that, you know, it just felt very personalized and we just had a great time.
Yeah. And we didn't even book in advance. We actually just took a taxi. It was like a 10-minute taxi ride and showed up and got put on a tour, got given wetsuits, snorkels, the whole thing, mm-hmm. And started our tour. So Cenote Chactun was definitely my favorite of all the ones we went to. Another one that was really beautiful and you could do as a day trip, or if you wanted to move further south and explore the Tulum region, which is a really cool area as well. Tulum, to me, has the weirdest funky vibe. It is like a mix of like yoga hippie-esque living and then like young rave party ecstasy scene, like mashed into one city. Like, I don't even know.
Yeah, and here we are, this family of four that is going to the beach and going to cenotes and exploring. And you got all these young backpackers like, ooh, what are these kids doing here?
No, it was still perfect. We were accepted with welcome arms. I mean, it's just more of like that hit trendy spot right now on Instagram. It's where you'll see the trendy restaurants and the beanbags on the beach. And it's just, it's definitely more of a young vibe. Like, mm-hmm. I would say if you're in your 20s, it's the place to be. As a family, we still really enjoyed it. And we opted to stay a few nights, but you could also do an easy day trip. It's only like an hour and 15 minutes.
Yeah. And the cenote that we visited there was called Sasilha. And it was about a 10-minute taxi drive from the downtown area of Tulum. And what we loved about it was there are facilities in there. So in Chaktun, you pretty much just have, you know, the entry and then the guides and some equipment rentals.
There's like a locker and restroom too.
But. Yeah, but in Sasilha, you had a little restaurant, you had lifeguards, and then
you had freshwater pools as well. They had like a kiddie pool and an adult pool. Mm-hmm.
So it seemed to be a lot more open to families being there. There was like a little swinging rope where the kids could go in there and kind of swing into the cenote. You had snacks, you had drinks that were there for vendors. You had fresh fruits like mangoes that you can get some chili sprinkled on it. And it's really delicious.
So Sasilha is a great place if you have young kids, especially. I mean, the cenote is definitely smaller than a lot of the other ones. Mm-hmm. So if you're looking for this giant, impressive cenote, it might not be for you. If you're looking for a really easy but beautiful cenote to experience with kids and for them to like be able to jump in it and see the fish and the marine life within mm-hmm. the cenote, it is perfect because the cenote water, like I said, is a little colder. Our kids were jumping in and out, so they were active enough, they stayed warm, but then they were able to go to the pool, which was much warmer, and we could sit on the chairs and you can really make a day of it, which is kind of nice. I felt like it was the definite, if you plan on going cenote hopping, as they say, I think if you have young kids, it's the best one to start.
Yeah, and one of the other benefits to it is this one is about 5 minutes from Gran Cenote, which is probably the most touristy and crowded one out of all of the ones in the Tulum area. So by going to Sasilha, you pretty much just drive down the road from where the Gran Cenote is for another 5 minutes. And it's a lot less populated. When we went there, we probably showed up at around 11 a.m. and we were the first ones there. And then I think one tour group of like six people came, and then a family or two, and that was about it. So it didn't seem like we were kind of fighting for space in the cenote. We all had our moments to go in there to, you know, take our pictures, to enjoy it, to jump into it. And it didn't feel like it was overcrowded at all.
If you really want to do Gran Cenote, I'd recommend going there the moment it opens, because that one gets crowded. So maybe go there the moment it opens, experience it, and then move up to Sasilha once Gran mm-hmm. Cenote gets crowded. Because as Rad said, they're really close together. But Gran Cenote will get crowded. You get a lot of Instagrammers there, people wanting to take pictures.
Yeah, all the tour buses show up there and they dump, you know, dozens of tourists there for the day. So it's definitely the more popular one because it is bigger, but that also brings more crowds to it.
So from Playa del Carmen, as we mentioned, you can go to Tulum. Another really easy either day trip or couple day trip. We also opted to stay a couple days, is you can hop on the ferry from the heart of Playa del Carmen and cross over to Cozumel, which is another island. And it's only about, what, a 45-minute ferry? Mm-hmm. It's about a 45-minute ferry. So it's super, super easy day trip. We have friends that came from Cozumel to visit us in Playa multiple times just for the day. And it's nice because since it's in the heart of town, you can hop on, have your coffee, cross, and spend the whole day in Cozumel. Something we kind of noticed, I don't know if it's actually 100% scientifically accurate, but if the seaweed is really bad on the Playa side due to currents, it's typically clearer on the Cozumel side. So if you're having a really bad seaweed day, it might be worth hopping over and enjoying the beaches on Cozumel. And then if you're staying on Cozumel and it's really bad, you can hop over and try to enjoy the beaches on Playa. We kind of saw that it flip-flopped throughout the time.
Yeah, and one of the main benefits of going to Cozumel is that is a big cruise ship port. So a lot of the cruise ships go and they, you know, are there just for the day. So one of the big appeals of going to Cozumel is the beach clubs. And the beach clubs can pretty much give you all-inclusive access to nice beaches. You can get these little like obstacle courses on the water. The water there is very clear. You can go on boat trips. You can get nice buffets. So it's a really good way to spend a day. I think the beach clubs there are a lot nicer than the ones that you'll find in Playa del Carmen. So, you know, if the beach is something that you really want to do, unless you're at a resort in Playa del Carmen where that is already available to you, then Cozumel might be the option to just to take the ferry over early in the morning, head out and do all day access at a beach club and then spend the day there and then just take the ferry back at night.
And Cozumel is also very famous for snorkeling, especially on their Palancar region. It's actually on the southern tip, I believe, of Cozumel. Yeah. You can get boat trips out. You can snorkel from the shore. If you're going to go, I recommend getting a boat trip out. It's really, really beautiful. I personally like Playa del Carmen more than Cozumel for like an extended stay. I just feel like I like being on the mainland, being able to drive around, and I like the main strip of Fifth Avenue. I think it's just not a cruise ship type place. So to me, it's more appealing culture-wise. Mm-hmm. But I do love Cozumel for its other reasons. Kind of going back to Playa, one of my tips for Playa del Carmen is some of the nicer beaches in Playa del Carmen are off of this area called Playa Car. And then it's called Fase. It's F-A-S-E, phase, but it's spelled with an F, one. You cannot drive through there or go on a bike. It's a gated neighborhood. It's a private neighborhood. But you are allowed to walk through it, and they won't stop you if you're walking. So if you walk, if you look up Playa Car Phase 1 and you walk to the end of that community, there's outlets to the beach. And those are right next to all of the hotels in that Playa del Carmen region. A lot of the hotels won't let you just walk through their hotel to access the beach. But an interesting fact is in Mexico, all beaches are considered public. So they can never say you cannot hang out on this beach.
So, yeah, you might not be able to use their chairs and their umbrellas, but you could at least plop yourself down on a towel and then enjoy
and
that
beach. And be at the beach. So since they won't let you walk through their hotels to access the beach, if you walk through that Playa Car neighborhood, just kind of walk. It's a beautiful neighborhood on these little cobblestone streets. And then there's all these outlets. You can just access the beach and then walk from there up the beach. It's probably some of the better beaches, especially as you get further south and into the hotel zone. So just don't try to get a cab there because they will say if you're not living there, you can't go. We tried to even bike there and they said no. So walk. It's not that far. Next stop we did. Yeah.
So we wanted to wrap up this episode with one of the more unique destinations that we experience in the Yucatan Peninsula. And that was called Isla Holbosch. So Isla Holbosch is about a 2-hour bus ride from Playa del Carmen. It's kind of on the northern tip of the Yucatan Peninsula. And it's an island that you take a 30-minute ferry from. And it's basically what that entire region of Playa del Carmen was probably 30 years ago.
Well, so, first off, like Holbosch, if you're looking it up, it looks like whole box. It's like H-O-L-B-O-X. And so when you tell people I'm going to Holbox, there's like this like weird snootiness of like, it is not like people are.
It's quick not to, Holbox. It's Holbosch.
It's Holbosch. Yeah,
people and they will correct you
quickly. Yeah. It's like a big thing there. So it's Holbosch, but it's H-O-L-B-O-X.
Yeah. And the town that you access it from is a town called Chiquila. So you can take buses from Cancun. You can take buses from Playa del Carmen. But from Chiquila is where you'll take a ferry to get to Isla Holbosch.
And it is just a great place to go with little kids because there are no cars. Well, I mean, very few cars.
Very few cars.
On the island.
Lots of golf carts, which all the golf carts there basically have their speed modified so that they don't go very fast.
Yes. So you drive a golf cart. The taxis are golf carts. You can rent a golf cart. So we got a golf cart and you pretty much just explore the island. But it's really cool because it's like the ocean there is like a lake. It is there's no waves and it's a giant clear lake with these sandbars that are perfect for your kids to like build sandcastles on. Or, I mean, And it's the water's shallow. It's the weirdest thing. You could probably walk. How many feet out do you think you could walk?
Oh, over 100. Yeah.
Like 200 feet out. Yep. And it'd still just be waist deep. Like the water's so shallow, so crystal clear. Holbosch isn't a place to go snorkeling. It is a place to go relax, enjoy these crystal clear waters, and really just let your kids run. I mean, it was like a giant baby pool. Mm-hmm. And it was nice because we didn't have to worry about them getting run over by cars. The island is super, super small, so it's easy to get.
Yeah, just to give you an example, all of the roads are dirt roads. There are no paved roads on the island, so it's pretty much just, you know, accessible via golf cart. You can walk around anywhere. There is one town square that has this like little amphitheater with a basketball court and a kids' playground. And then all the restaurants there are just pretty much facing that main square. So everything is walking distance. There are luxury hotels there. There are backpacker hostels. There are Airbnbs, which is what we utilized. So really, they have a lot of options for stays there, and there's plenty of food. One thing I would say is the ATMs there are very unreliable. So make sure that you are bringing pesos with you from the mainland, because if you run out of cash there, then it's going to be pretty difficult to be able to find an ATM where you'll be able to withdraw cash from.
And Holbosch is a very relaxed place. So if you're a person who wants the resorty town where you get dressed up and wear your pretty clothes, this probably isn't the place to do it. Mm-hmm. People there typically are just walking around in swimsuits and flip-flops. It's a very casual, laid-back vibe. There's hammocks in the water.
Yeah, there's very low connectivity, so don't expect any fast Wi-Fi if you want to be uploading stuff like Instagram stories or posts. But it was beautiful. It was a great time to disconnect. We spent 3 days there. We rented a golf car, drove around the entire island, and then we got rained out for one of the days, which made things kind of muddy, but it was still an adventure for us.
That was my only downfall with Holbosch, is pay attention to the weather. If you get a rainy day, since it's all dirt roads, it becomes like an island of mud, which gets a little complicated. We got our golf cart stuck, and then it's just a little muddy. But besides that, it was really cool. It was a really fun experience, and it was really nice just to kind of see what the region one used to be like, and to be at a place that I know probably 20 years from now won't look like it does today. So it's really cool to see it before it gets kind of exploited to the masses.
Oh, yeah. You can tell that a lot more people are starting to discover that island. A lot more establishments are popping up. A lot more hotels are under construction, kind of luxury apartments as well. So if you want to go to Holbosch, you should probably prioritize it, because it probably will be different in about 5 to 10 years.
Yeah. Some of the other things we did in the region is Eskaret. Mm-hmm. It's with an X.
S with an X, and Senses with an X. So those are the kind of the ecological theme parks that you can visit. Eskaret is known for its like lazy river cenote kind of tour, where you just hop in on this river and then you just kind of wade down the river all the way to the other side of the park. There's a lot of kind of Mayan exhibits. There's a butterfly garden, and there's a beach there as well that have really beautiful views of the ocean. So, you know, Eskaret is a place that we definitely recommend.
It's a lot of culture, a lot of cultural activities. You mm-hmm. can learn about the Mayans that used to live in the region. And it's a full day experience. So I really recommend going when it opens, because you'll kind of be like, oh, I don't need the whole day. I can go for several hours. But it's huge. It's overwhelming. Mm-hmm. And you need a full day. The other one we went to was Senses.
Senses is a little bit smaller, but it's like a sensory playground. And I don't know if that's even the best way to describe it, just because there's like some bizarre flavors to it.
Asante loved it. It's one of those love it or hate it type places.
I loved it.
Some people you talk to are like, that was just way too weird and it wasn't my thing. And then people,
AKA Jess.
No. I liked it. My parents, though, I knew would freaking hate it. I knew my parents would hate it. So they actually stayed home that day with Nora. Because Nora was grumpy that day, mm-hmm. and we were visiting my parents, and I just left Nora home with them, because my dad would be like, What is this craziness?
Let me give you an example. There is one part of it that is an entirely pitch black experience where you are walking through like seven different biomes kind of simulated through this walking experience. So you can't see anything. You're just walking with your hands out.
It was scary.
And you are feeling different things. You've got sand in your feet that turns into water, that turns into rock as you're kind of traversing through these like beachy landscape to a jungle landscape to a rock and cave landscape to a mountain landscape. And then it starts getting a little bit colder, a little bit warmer, depending on where you're at. And you have no idea when it started, when it's going to end. And it was a really unique experience that I don't think we've had anywhere else. By the end of it, you walk through this really beautiful scenic walk at the end that you can actually see. And then it tells you, oh, by the way, you started at the beach and that took you into a jungle, which turned into a cave. And it was really intense for your senses, but afterwards, like, you appreciate it for what it was, and it was really unique.
Santi and Rod loved it. I'm actually really impressed. Santi walked through this pitch black thing for 15 minutes.
Yeah, he just held on to my back as he walked alongside or right behind me. He made it through. There were some parts of it where he got a little bit scared because you could hear like animal noises, even though there were no animals there. And you kind of just reassure them that, hey, it's okay. Everything's controlled. You're going to be fine. Just, you know, experience it and listen to the sounds, smell the different smells and feel the mist and the warm heat in the different parts of it. And it was, a really unique experience.
The other thing there is they have like this entire town. That's like,
It's like an optical illusion where
it makes you feel dizzy almost.
Yeah. So all the buildings are slanted. So it feels like you're walking uphill, even though you're not. It really messes with your brain and it made us a little bit dizzy, but it was a really interesting.
So if you want like a cool bodily experience, they also have this circuit you can do there where there's like a zip line and a river. I don't know. They have a lot. You have to look it up. There's a lot to do there. Mm-hmm. It's very unique. It's very different, but if that's your thing, you will friggin' love it.
Yep, I loved it. Santi loved it.
My last tip is if you're in the Playa del Carmen region, well, we didn't go to Cancun. That might be something else you want to consider. We didn't. But if you're in the Playa del Carmen region, you have to have tacos at El Fogón. We have tried tacos all over Mexico. We have tried tacos all over Playa del Carmen region. The best tacos, hands down, very cheap, are El Fogón.
Yeah, you're getting a dollar a taco. They have anywhere from carne asada to al pastor, chorizo. It was all so delicious. It's not in the main kind of Fifth Avenue town square center. So you're going to have to walk a couple of blocks or take a taxi to it. If you just tell them, can you take me to El Fogón? And they'll know where it's at because it's a really popular place, mostly for the locals. And, you know, tourists are starting to find out about it and are going there more often. So El Fogón, delicious, delicious tacos. Pretty much, you know, most of the tacos that you'll eat there are very good. So don't be afraid to experience some of the more hole-in-the-wall places because those are usually the ones that are better than the touristy tacos where they'll ask to take your picture and then they'll sell you a tequila bottle with your picture on the bottle itself.
So if someone kindly asks to take your picture, just say no, unless you want a souvenir.
Yeah.
But to wrap it up, we were in Playa del Carmen. Our trips took us to Tulum, to Cozumel, and to Isla Holbox. We did not make it to Cancun because we've been before and it just wasn't somewhere we needed to see with the kids, we didn't think. Or a more central town that a lot of people love to do day trips to that also has cenotes is Valladolid. So those were the two areas we didn't make. But there are places that are popular to go as well. And we hope that if you go explore the region, that you find what's the perfect fit for you. Or if you have enough time, hit up a couple different places because each one's vastly different and brings a cool, unique experience to your trip.
Yeah. And if you are planning a trip to the area, don't hesitate to reach out to us with any questions. We were there for a while and we also know people that have spent significant amount of time, not just in Playa del Carmen, but also Tulum, Cozumel, and Cancun. So if we don't have the answer for you, we can direct you to somebody that does. So with that, We appreciate your patience with us as we had a little kind of week-long, 2 weeks of delay from the episodes, but we can assure you that the episodes will continue. Next week, we have a very fun interview that we are excited to share with a very renowned travel writer and blogger. His name is Eric Stowen. You might know him better as Travel Babo. We are excited to have him on the show, so make sure that you subscribe to our podcast on whatever platform you're listening to. And with that said, thank you once again, and until next time, happy jet setting.
The Podglomerate, a sonic universe.
Ever wonder if they were listening to you? So did Al Franken. Yep, that Al Franken. He was just on our podcast impersonating his former Senate colleagues in the name of privacy.
What the Hack with Adam Levin will make you feel more chill about the unchill things that happen online and off, with easy-to-understand tips to make your life a little less hackable.
Join us as we look at the ways people get scammed and hacked. What the Hack with Adam Levin is a weekly cyber true crime show that unravels a fresh new hell every Monday.
What the Hack with me, Adam Levin. Available wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Dr. Jennifer Lincoln, board-certified OBGYN, and you may know me from social media, where I spend a lot of my time educating about everything reproductive health. This podcast is called Let's Talk About Down There, and that's what I'm doing. I am talking about down there with no shame, no stigma, a lot of fun, and a lot of education. And why? Because when we talk about these things, we educate and we empower ourselves. Call in, leave a question, and know that it's okay to have questions about your body, and we're going to answer them.